Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Here we go. This is it, baby. The Eric Terrell Show is live. We are here. And today, does the media help or hurt the African-American community? That's exactly what we're talking about with Dr. Mavis Carr on the Eric Terrell Show. Does the media help or hurt the African-American community? This is going to be a fun discussion. It's going to be a good discussion, insightful and very poignant, okay? And we have Asia Downing. What's going on?
What's up?
What's up, girl? How you feeling?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good.
Cool. Now, this is going to be good. This is going to be good, Asia. You ready for this? You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready. this is all led up. All the others have led up to this part because I got my answer, and ain't nobody fight my answer.
What's really relevant? Okay, starting us off right now. What's really relevant? Now, Subway, as well as the rest of the world, is done with Jared Fogle, okay? Now, Jared Fogle is the guy who lost a ton of weight on these Subway sandwiches, the quote-unquote pitch man for Subway, all right? He's the face of Subway. He was on all of the commercials. Well, you probably won't see him on any commercials anymore unless he's advertising for the penitentiary, okay? He's expected to plead guilty to having sex with minors. He supposedly took a trip to New York, Asia, and he had sex with a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old on that trip alone. And it was revealed in court that he allegedly had sex with some 14-year-olds. It got real bad for him. It got really bad. And not only having sex with minors, but distributing and receiving child pornography. Okay, this man is sick. Do not eat those Subway sandwiches. They got something in those Subway sandwiches that turn you into an animal, apparently. I don't know. I think I'm going to stick to Wawa.
Firehouse.
He's facing 12 years in prison. 12 years. 12 years.
Wow.
I don't think 12 years is enough. But poor Jared. Listen, he had a good career, you know. He had a good career on those commercials. And now it's all over with. That's what happens. You know, you mess with 14-year-olds and then you can't be on commercials anymore. That's how this thing works.
I know poor Jared. He knew what he was doing. That's horrible. Like you said, he had a good career, and he just messed up because he could control his hormones or testosterone, whatever. I know poor Jared. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
he was getting
sick.
money, and then I don't condone that stuff at all. Like, you're a grown man.
Oh, that's sick.
You obviously not a healthy grown man, but not mentally healthy.
That is sick. That is sick, 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 sick. Now listen here, okay? We're gonna get started. Does the media? First of all, I believe
we
have. Elena. Elena Brownlee. What's going on?
Hello, I'm Alan.
Oh, this is not Elena, Asia. This is not Elena.
This is
she got a cold or something.
Hello?
Yes, I do have a comment when you allow for it.
When I allow for it.
You're taking callers,
here.
Right? Your message says to call in if one has a... wants to speak
Asia,
to the host.
Now, ain't this crazy, Asia? We got listeners. We got listeners on the show, don't we?
Do we?
That's something. Listen here, brother.
Surprise!
We're a little shocked. This is good. This is good news.
He said, "Surprise! Surprise! Surprise!" Listen here, brother. We don't know who you are. We thought we knew who you are, but we thank you so much for tuning in. We really, really appreciate the call, and we will take your call soon. I promise we're going to take your call as soon as we get to our special guest. But before we get to our special guest, Asia, listen here. All right. Now, first of all, I thank not only my brother who's on hold, but everybody for tuning in to this episode, because this seems like an episode that you know what's coming with this episode. All right. Now, I'm happy you tuned in to hear what you're already thinking. I say that because we did, over the past 2 weeks, does hip-hop help or hurt the African-American community? Does BET help or hurt the African-American community? Which are interesting topics. Interesting for one, or probably most of all, because they hurt the African-American community, but in many ways, they also help the African-American community, partly because these are things hip-hop and BET, one of them being a company, one of them being a genre of music, but these are things that belong to black people, okay? Hip-hop and BET belong to us. Now, the media is the media, all right? The media is not something that black people can say, oh, yeah, that's ours. You know, we control hip-hop. No, we do. But the media is a little different, okay? Which is why one of the questions I'm posing is why we control as much of the media as we could in order to have for it to have a different effect on us. Now, I say that to say what I already said, which is that this is an episode where you know what you're going to get. Of course, the media, which black people do not control and probably never will, if you excuse my pessimism. But the media hurts a lot. It hurts the African-American community, which is why I said you know what's coming here. The question should probably be, does the media help the African-American community? That should be the topic, because we know that it hurts us. Now, with that being said, Asia, listen here. I love the media. I love the media.
Mm-hmm.
This right here, this what we're doing with Eric.
This is media.
This is the media. As the show that I is the media. So I am the media. Not really, you know, a big part of it. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you know, I don't have as much reach as USA Today, which is one of my favorite media outlets, or the Huffington Post, or things like that. But those are probably what we'll be talking about more than anything, those media conglomerates. Now, some African-Americans, Asia, they say, well, you know what? They don't like us. You know, they always put us in a bad light. They call black people thugs. You know, I'm not going to be a part of the media. I'm not going to listen to the media. I'm not going to read the media. I'm not going to watch the media. A lot of black people think, you know, they just don't need the media. But this is where this is an important and a tough topic, because while the media definitely cripples us by putting these stereotypes on us and showing us in a bad light, because they do call us thugs and they do show us committing more crimes than showing us doing good and being Samaritans and being the loving people that we are, we still need the media. We can't just turn a negative eye or turn a cold shoulder on the media. We got to have some media. Now, unlike the last 2 weeks of the show, hip-hop, BET, you can't really live without the media. If you want to be a relevant, astute, up-to-beat human being, you got to have some media. You got to have some mainstream media. You can't just have the Eric Terrell Show. You can't just have the black media outlets. You got to have some real African-American crippling media. Because unlike hip-hop and BET, if you tune out the media, there's going to be things that people around you know that you don't know. All right? You might not know who your mayor is. I don't know. But what do you think? What do you think, Asia Downing? Does it help or hurt?
You know, I feel like initially I was joking. I was like, yeah, it hurts us. I know the answer. I don't like how the media adds to a stereotypical black person as far as, like, you know, we're on the news, they want to get the story of what happened. They pick, like, the most ignorant bumpkin person on the street, and they're not picking, you know, the person that was on his way from his law firm and the suit and tie. Stuff like that makes me upset. But I do agree with you saying that we do need the media, because without the media, we wouldn't know what was going on with our black people. Like, we wouldn't know what would be going on with the Sandra Bland and the Trayvon Martin and stuff, because I watch the news faithfully every morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. I want to know what's going on in my world. I want to know how we are being treated and what's happening to us, what's happening to my people, what's going on in the world. So we need the media. Like you said, black people, we need to be more informed. Of course, we are stereotyped and portrayed sometimes in the instances, but you can't let that be a negative. You know, you don't be that
right.
stereotypical person. So when you pop up on the news and they ask you questions, you educated and you got to go vocabulary and you well dressed, then, you know, you did your part. It's not
right.
really much we can do, you know? It was like out of
right.
our hands and it was starting. So I feel like as black people, we need to do our part and be educated about the media. So when somebody asks you, like, who's running for, you know, president or what's going on in the world, you know the answer. And the world
right.
is going to see that you know, that we not just this bum from across the street with no education and no ethics and stuff like that. So,
right. Yeah, we have to be the kind of people that kill the stereotypes that they try to delineate and portray on
exactly.
on the TV screen. Right. That's definitely true. One thing you did say, Asia, is that we can't change it. And while I did say at the top of the show that we will never control the media, I do, however, still believe that we can change it. At least we can make some baby steps. Now, we aren't going to control the media or change the media tomorrow. You know, like this is definitely not something that can, if it can be done, it's definitely not something that can be done in any kind of short term. But there are baby steps that we can make, baby steps that my special guest is making, baby steps that her students are making, one of which I used to be. And all of the students who are big, all of the black students who are big fans of the media, students of Scripps Howard School of Journalism and Communications. Okay, Asia, listen here. If you want to jump in, I want you to jump in, all right? And I'm going to take my phone call shortly. But right now, I'm very excited because coming on to the show at this very second, we have the doctor, okay? She is a digital media professional, all right, who brings her management and public relations industry experience to the classroom of the Scripps Howard School of Journalism and Communications at Hampton University. She's a former online producer for companies like Nickelodeon and Cox. Okay, Dr. Carr served as one of the first producers for thedailypress.com, native of Harlem in New York City. And Dr. Carr graduated from the high school that was in the movie Fame. Now, that has nothing to do with her expertise, but that's a cool thing. That's a very cool thing. All right. Now, we have Dr. Mavis Carr. What's going on, Dr. Carr?
Eric, you're too much. Thank you. Thank you, Asia, Eric, for having me on the show. I appreciate it. So you want to talk about how the media is helping or hurting the African-American community?
Yeah, that's
is
what
that
we're
right?
here for. That's,
okay,
that's what the people
good enough.
Want to know. That's,
okay.
And,
you know,
we're glad
and
to
I,
have you, first of all. Before we
thank
get started,
you.
I'm just so happy to talk to you. It's been a long time.
Yes, it has. About time you asked me on. Anyway, but this is a really hot topic. You know, I don't have to say that, but I think I might disagree with. And my husband is also in academia as I am. He works at a community college, so he sees a different slightly different demographic of students than I do. And his thinking is that it hurts, the media is hurting the African-American community because of the views that it's putting forth as we are thugs, we're pimps, we're prostitutes, we're criminals and all of that stuff. But I think that we're far from where we were, and you all are like, you were like thoughts in the stars at this point, but in the 1960s and 1970s when you were not even a thought. He's thinking that that's where we were, the way we were portrayed then, you know, the black exploitation era. But now we have evolved. And if you really think about it, if we don't have media, I mean, if we don't have media, every semester I talk to my students and I tell them about, you know, there was a time when there was no cable. You know, television actually went off before midnight, you know, and you saw nothing. You know, nothing
right.
at all, you know, and the students, and I had like 6 channels on my television, that's all, and they're like, no, Dr. Carr, what about cable? You can watch cable. No, there was no cable.
Right.
There was nothing to turn on. So I got my news basically when I was growing up probably 48 to 72 hours later than it actually occurred. So today we're getting our media, wow, what, seconds? You know, Twitter. You know, Instagram,
right.
Snapchat,
right.
In split second time. Yes, exactly. So now we are, whether it's good or bad, not going to argue that right now, whether it's good or bad, we are getting our information in record time. So we have the opportunity that we didn't have when I was growing up, which is to react, to do something in a more expedient time. We can actually move or choose not to move. Quickly or slowly, whichever. But that's our decision. But way, way back in the day, that decision was removed from us. We saw media when we saw it. Yes, it was segregated media. You know, it was the media that maybe the white populace wanted us to see and not what we wanted to see. But it was something. Now, today, that all of us have been, pretty much all of us that have means, let me say that, have been empowered to capture news and share it with whoever we choose to, everything has changed. So without technology and media also taking advantage of the technology, they were on top of that way before we were, where would we be without knowing about all of these instances of the violence and good and bad? There have been good, you know, cops do good too. Okay, I have a lot of law enforcement in my family. Don't want to say that they're all bad. So,
oh,
you know, I just want to, you know, say out there that, you know, I believe that information is power. Ignorance is lack of power. So it's what you do with it. As we are all adults, you know, you become 18, 21 or whatever, and you have to decide what are you going to do with that information. You're going to take that drink because you're of legal age, or you're not going to take it? Are you going to vote because you're of legal age, or are you not going to vote? That's your decision. But if we
okay.
have that information, we can totally roll with it, whether it's for the positive or the negative. So I think it helps the African-American community. I really do.
Okay. It helps us by giving us information that we need to know.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Because,
okay.
you know, throwing it back to my days, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but, you know, we just didn't have it. We didn't have it in a timely fashion, and sometimes we didn't have it at all.
Right.
We never got
it. And, right. Right, and part of a big part of ignorance, which is what we are not, is not knowing. And thanks to the
mm-hmm.
media, we now have the power to get information instantly. Information that can make us knowledgeable. That's kind of didn't really think about that part of it. So now, what's the biggest bone that you have to pick with the media, if any? It helps more than it hurts. In your opinion, in what ways does it hurt, though?
Okay, it does kind of in times. I know if you've seen the. I'm trying to think of her name. Was her name? Was her web name or internet name Sweet Brown? You know, the negative connotations
yeah.
where she's like, "Oh Lord, there's a fire." You know, all of that stuff.
Right, right.
It kind of perpetuates all of that because it looks like it seems to be that when media gets on the scene, they go for the most ignorant person they can find to talk to, or the most person that raises their hand and says, "I want to talk, I want to be on television," or whatever. But, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I think unfortunately that's what we have to live with. We need more people, and I don't think anybody really knows his name, but we need more people when we had the unfortunately people have been affected by law enforcement so negatively, unfortunately, so often recently that their names are all like blending into each other. I'm kind of like forgetting whose names they are. But there's one instance where someone was in a crowd and the young man had an opportunity to talk to Geraldo Rivera and like really confront him and say him, yo, no, you all are just jumping out here when negative stuff goes on. Why aren't you out here when good things go on? You know, so I think that what is fueled most often is the negative stereotypes, because they're going for the easy ratings, jokes,
definitely,
laughs, whatever you want to say, instead of looking for something that's going to uplift, edify, empower the people. They're just going for the easy,
definitely,
because that's what ratings, that brings you ratings. That has people changing the channel. Oh, I don't want to watch. Oh, look, I want to stay here. I want to stay on this. Oh, look at this Fox. Look what they're showing.
Right.
As opposed to another channel. And so we still have a long way to go when it comes to that. That's why we need more of us in the media.
Right, and we're definitely gonna get to that after our phone call. But that's definitely poignant. Something that I've thought about many times when Ferguson happened,
mm-hmm.
when Ferguson happened, and when Baltimore happened. You know, they made it seem like everybody rioted, when there was peaceful protest going on all the while, in between all of the burning cars and the black people looting and trashing businesses. But you don't see the peaceful protest, because the peaceful protest don't make ratings. You know, they aren't going to keep people watching your station. You know, people want to see the cars that are on fire. Now, listen, it's your time now, brother. You had to wait. Sorry about that. What's going on? This is our call. You're live on the air. What's happening?
Yeah, hello. This is Mr. Solution. I spoke to you just briefly earlier, but I think the issue here is in the definition here. You say, does the media help or hurt the African American community? And I would say, if there were a functional community, it wouldn't be hurt as much. And since I work with a number of groups, you look at the Asians. You don't hear very much about them, but they go about their business very purposefully and very effectively. So if you were talking about a functional community with its businesses and with its various organizations and with its own media, then, of course, there could be some, success and pushback where and when necessary. And I think that is just so overlooked. So I think this notion of a community, it needs a descriptor such as so-called community or possibly non-functional community. What do you think?
Oh, no, I agree. You're saying that whether it helps or hurts the African-American community may have more to do with the community as opposed to the media. You know, they have such an effect because the community's fractured already and more impressionable than they should be, correct?
And virtually non-existent. I think the other thing is, and in America, if there's anything to be said about America, it has to do with competition. And if you can't compete, then one takes the victim stance, the victim attitude. There's plenty of opportunity here in America. That's the reason people are fighting to get here. It seems to me, and I deal with people outside of the America also, and they look at black Americans, even people of melanoid content or melanin content, which is most of the population of the world, and they say you don't take advantage of what's available to you. And therefore, this claim of victimology or victimhood is really something that's more or less self-induced. I mean, and most people, including myself, I understand the history, but history was filled with injustices and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing of it is what do you do today? Today. You can't live on what's bygone. You have to live on what you produce today. So I would say the most important aspect is going to be not what the someone does to me, but what I do for my damn self. What do you think?
Gotcha. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, most definitely. Your reaction is what you control, not necessarily the action or what's being said. Listen here, that is a great point. Thank you so much for your call, brother. Mr. Solution, appreciate you, bro.
Thank you.
Mr. Solution. Oh, yeah, stay tuned, man. Stay tuned. Stay tuned to the show. He had a solution, didn't he, Mr. Solution? What are your thoughts on that, Dr. Carr?
I love what he said about community. It just doesn't, the word is out there, but we are not embodying it as we should. You know, we don't come together and take action. There's still too much crabs in the barrel mentality, you know, somebody gets ahead of you when you want to pull them back down kind of thing. You know, if we really came together and worked for one cause, can you imagine the impact we could have? I mean, this is going to be, yes,
oh, yeah.
You know, and I think I do disagree with a tiny bit with something you said earlier, Eric, about we will never control the media. And if you say we will never control the media in terms of African-Americans only controlling the media, you're probably right. But as far as brown people or whatever you want to call people of color, it won't be that much longer before we do. You know, before minorities control the media. It's not going to be that much longer. I will probably live to see it, and then I will die. But you will be here. So you must perpetuate that because we are, that is just the way the world is going. We are turning more brown than anything else. So I think that that term community is going to evolve and it's going to change. But I think at some point there really is going to be maybe not a community where African-Americans control the media, but maybe more of a community where people of color control the media, and then things are really going to change. You know, I want to be here to see that, and I hope I'm still sane enough by the time comes to really realize it. Like my grandfather was, my uncle is old enough to see the first black president and everything else, and he's like 90 years old, and he's seen a lot evolve, and I'd love to see that. But I think that's coming. I know that's coming, as a matter of fact.
Right. We definitely needed you to say that. That's great. That's very inspiring. Now, and I'm glad Mr. Solution called in because he definitely really, really introduced the word community to the discussion. And we're only as strong as we are united, and we're only as weak as we are divided.
Mm-hmm.
So if the community is strong, then nothing can bother it. Now, In what way? In closing, the show is over. Thank you for joining us. In the minute or two that we have left, in closing, if you could just help us, Dr. Carr, to what ways can we do that? You think it's possible? You think we can control us as minorities, not as black people, can control the media? In what ways can that way be done? Can that be done? And what is your role? And I guess all of our role in changing that or in helping that to happen.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see, as I do every year, fortunately, more students take on journalism as an aspiration, a career goal that they have. I would like to see fewer students that want to get into entertainment or want to be the next Oprah or Anderson Cooper by that means. But I want to see them come in and just realize that they need to tell their story from their perspective of being African-American and share that story. So I want to encourage more students to go to school, to go to college, to continue their education so that they can share whatever they're learning about their communities with the future generations. So that's my role. You know, that's what I do. In fact, I go back to work on Monday, and I will start again another semester and teaching students and hoping, you know, I'm getting it right. And I just want to teach them that, you know, just be honest about it, be true about it, and just come in and tell the stories that aren't being told. That's my role.
That's key. Listen here, thank you so much. People wonder, you know, why don't they tell our story? Well, they can't tell our story if they don't know our story. So let's become some journalists. Thank you all for joining us. The most important thing is love, okay? Love will none of this matters if we don't have love. Community,
yes.
Thank you, Mr. Solution. Love yourself. Love others. Love the truth and love. And it's not hard to love. All you got to do is love God, because God is love, and God did it.
Okay.
Yes,
thank y'all for joining us. Listen here. Next week,
thank you.
we kick off our back to school series next week, and we're talking about lessons from law school. Okay, with a recent law school graduate, Miss Sydney Mack. Thank y'all for joining us. Listen here, Asia. We did it. We did it.
We did it.
Dr. Carr, Fame, and yes. We're gonna watch the movie Fame so we can see.
Thank you.
Up.
I'm not in it, by the way. They skipped over me. They didn't go to my classroom.
Oh, that's
pathetic. But I was in the building.
That's why we need to tell our story. That's why, because you were in the classroom. I don't know.
Yes, I was. Thank you.